Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. Happy Thursday to you guys. I'm off today. I'm chilling with my daughter and hanging out with the famous, the hardest working Mark Narducci. Mari, won't you say hi to everyone?
Say, hi.
Oh. Hey, but we're just sitting here relaxing and everything. But hey, Mark, I would really like to talk to you about, you know, the Sixers play the New Orleans Pelicans tonight, but I want to talk to you about, you know, the Sixers right now. They lost 23 consecutive road games, which ties a franchise record. The last time they actually won a road game was, it was like in January at the Orlando Magic. That's the last time that they won one. You know, and I know the team was tanking. I know right now that they have a depleted lineup. But when you lose 23 in a row and you keep making excuses, you know, I feel like you can't make excuses anymore. There's no more moral victories.
Well, Keith, you're right. And there are a couple of things that they could do. No matter how depleted they are, you can always hit your foul shots,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And if you're not doing that the way they're not doing, and you turn the ball over, they're near the bottom of the league in turnovers, you're not going to win games. Now, I understand you're not going to get the offense when an Embiid isn't there or anything like that, but you can hit foul shots. You can do certain things like that. And I don't know if it's – I'm sure they work on it all the time and everything like that, but they will continue to struggle even as their talent level gets up unless they start getting a little more consistency at the free throw line.
Exactly. You know, and this is funny. Like, you're talking about consistency at the free throw line, but before we get there, let's talk about the turnovers. Okay, so they play back-to-back games on Monday and Tuesday. On Monday, they turned the ball over on their final two possessions. Final two. Both of them were coming out of timeouts, right? So on Tuesday, they're playing New Orleans, and every time they call a timeout, I'm sitting there watching the game saying, oh my gosh, here comes another turnover. Here comes another turnover. And the first one was, the second one, I mean, like late in the clutch, the second one, they almost turned it over. I mean, they had to run backcourt and get the ball and then bring it back. And then they call another turn, a timeout, excuse me, and Nick Stauskas ends up in front rims the ball on a three-pointer. And it was a game where Nick was struggling mightily, but other people were hot. And I get it that maybe people fronted the guy. Maybe they couldn't get it. So Nick is the guy that takes the shot. But it just seems like, you know, this team continues to have chance after chance after chance. But either the turnovers or horrible shot selection, you know, it's just killing them.
Keith, you're right. You can blame only so much on the depleted lineup, which we know it's been with the injuries. We get all that. But this is basic execution stuff. This is executing toward the end of the games. And it's been a constant trouble for the 76ers. You could go back, and you follow it a lot closer than I do. They've been in a lot of these games, and they just don't know how to win at this point. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be the next step that they take.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be. And we're talking about, you know, the turnovers. Okay, they're going into Wednesday night's games. They were tied for 28th in the league at 16.5 turnovers. They were tied with the Atlanta Hawks. The Brooklyn Nets are last in the league at 16.6. So it's kind of like the Sixers are right there. You know, then we talk about free throw shooting. Heading into Wednesday night's games, the Sixers were 26th in the league, shooting 72% three throw shooting. Now, some games, man, they're lucky to get 60% three throw shooting. You know, it's just been atrocious for them. So, you know, I don't know. It's just bad. And, you know, these are things that, you know, that these guys, like you said, you don't have to be an elite athlete to hold on to the ball. You don't have to be an elite athlete to execute a play coming out of a timeout. You don't have to be an elite athlete to shoot foul shots. And most of these guys are, you know, some of them are fringe players in the NBA. So they're the ones who are expected to be able to make foul shots because that's the things that they need to do to continue to be in the league.
Right.
Make it in the league. You know, and it's just mind-boggling to me that they're losing these games the way they are.
Yeah, and as you know, and you've been with them through a lot of losses, as you keep losing, it gets harder to win. And you know, I think they press a lot toward the end. I think they're trying to do maybe too much and everything. But you're right about one thing. The moral victories have to go. The old, oh, we were close with them, you know. Memphis didn't have Mike Conley. He's pretty good. They rely so much on him, and they're 3-1 now without him with the current back injury. So, you know, you've gotta find a way to do it. Sometimes, I just wonder too how much of a priority. I know they're not tanking, Keith, but how much of a priority winning is. I think that in their mind it's. We want to get Embiid. We want to get him through a game without being hurt. We want to get these guys developing. And I just don't know if the mindset is there yet about winning. And we know this year it's not going to matter.
No, it's not. But, you know, you were talking earlier about a guy in Dario Saric. You know, he's strung together three pretty good games. Just give me your impressions on him. And how he's improved since the start of the season.
I think that he's starting to settle down and find out what the NBA is. I thought early on in the season he was actually playing too fast. I think he was rushing everything and just trying to be so fine with what he does. And I think he has settled down a little bit. You know, he's shooting 39.7% from three, which... You know, you'll take that. And I think that that's going to even get better. I think his shot selection is starting to get better from beyond New York. And I think he's letting the game come to him a little bit. You know, we talked about that he had such a long offseason, and he talked to us about it at practice that he was a little tired coming into the season. He had the Olympic qualifying, he had the Olympics, he had all that. So there was a physical, and then there was the mental part about learning the league. So I think he's starting to settle down. I don't know if he's ever going to be, you know, a star player, but I think he can be a very, you know, valuable rotation piece.
I agree 100%. And then Ersan Ilyasova, he's another guy who, you know, when he came here, it was thought to be, okay, here comes another pit stop. You know, this guy's been traded so many times the last couple of years. And it just seems like, you know, he's showing that he has value. Now, again, sometimes people can argue and say it's tough to gauge with the Sixers because Thomas Robinson comes in and he spits up, like, all-star numbers. You know, guys just come in, like point guards, they come in from the D-League, and next thing you know, they're getting averaging, like, 9-10 assists. With the Sixers ball club. But when you look at Ersan, does he look like a keeper to you?
I think. And look what happened to Ish Smith. He parlayed his Sixers into a 3-year, $18 million contract with the Pistons. I think he does look like a keeper. I think he's a professional. I think he's a veteran. What's interesting is, Keith, he's shooting over 50% from two-point range this year, and so he's a very good shooter there, and he's shooting 38% from three. So he gives them some size, but some good outside shooting, and then he crashes the boards. I think he plays hard. I think he's a good influence, and I'll tell you what. I mean, he had 17 rebounds against Memphis. I think if I'm the Sixers, he's the type of guy I want, because you can't win in this league with just young players. I know they're building with the young talent, but you need some veterans, some glue people. And I think, in my opinion, he's really enhanced his value after, what would you say, a couple of years of just kind of being okay.
Yeah, he really has. And I think that this is a good fit for him because of all the foreign players. You know, I think, you know, it really helps out. Like, mm-hmm. you know, what they say is that, you know, I mean, and it shouldn't be this way, but it's just how it is. Like, typically black players gravitate towards the black players in the locker room. The white players, well, there's so many black players in the league that it's great. Like, they gravitate anyone. But I shouldn't say it that way, but you know what I mean. But the white players gravitate towards themselves. Well, in this locker room, they say that you have Sergio Rodriguez from Spain, Dario, who's from Croatia, and Ersan Ilyasova from Turkey. These three guys are as thick as thieves. They're always together, you know. So, you know, and I think with this mix, and if you look at the team, a lot of times they'll have all internationals on the team. I mean, seriously, like there's been a time where they had Nick Stauskas,
yeah,
the three guys I just mentioned, and Joel Embiid on the floor. All foreign players on the squad. So I think that for him, it's a kind of like a comfort zone for him to stay here. And not only that, they all have, you know, they have stuff in common. And he can be a leader to a Dario, help him cope with, you know, dealing with the United States. Now, again, they're both not Croatians, but, you know, they have a lot more in common than they do with the guys who grew up in America.
Yeah, and not only that is, Ilyasova is getting the minutes now. He's just about under 27 a game. And that there's nothing that can give you a chance to show yourself more than that. I think he's been a little rejuvenated by this, Keith. And I think he's not going to be lacking offers. But if I'm the 76ers, I would be very, very seriously consider trying to bring him back.
Now, do you think he'll... After getting a taste of being a starter, you think how do you think he'll deal with coming off the bench? Because he possibly would have to come off the bench next year.
Well, I don't think that matters if the team's better. I think he's probably like anybody else. He would you rather come off the bench and win or start and have four wins the way they do now? So I don't think that matters that much. I don't think it should matter. And in the NBA, I think starting sometime is overvalued. Who's in there in crunch time? That's what you always want to look for. And I think because of his ability to hit the three and stretch the defense, I think that he, whether he's a starter or not, he would be in crunch time a lot of times.
All right. Well, hey, Mark, thanks for joining me again for this podcast. You bring a lot to it. You know, Mari and I thank you. And now we're off to spend the rest of our day and just go shopping.
Keith, always good to be here. Nice to see your daughter here, who's so well behaved, and hope you both have a good day.
All right.